Hey, spooky friends. Hi,
what
spooky
up,
cat.
Up? Hey, spooky Cindy.
How are you guys this fine St. Patrick's Day?
They got the luck of the Irish in you now.
Right? And I am Irish, so, you know, but I can't do an Irish accent to save my life. It's so bad.
That is probably the best attempt I've ever done. So
it was good. It was good. You know, I'll accept it. So, you guys, today's the day. So you need to watch out on all our social media stuff for the announcement of the winners that are going to be invited to be at Nanny and Grandpa's house with Kat and I on April 2nd.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Doing that drawing later on today. Obviously, our podcast goes out and our video gets posted first thing in the morning, but later on after we're done working Fridays, we will be probably, we'll probably do a live stream of our winner.
I mean,
maybe.
But we're going to do the drawing like on video so you guys can actually see
do
it
the
happening.
Damn thing.
We're doing it, man. So freaking excited. I can't even stand it. I just love it.
I'm so excited.
I'm about to lose control. I better not. I don't know if we have to like get rights to that song or something.
But so. We are green adjacent today. I've got some sage color. Cindy is teal, so no pinching. Otherwise, I will hit you. But yeah, so we're gonna talk about some spooky St. Patrick stuff today.
Speaking of Irish, though, I not too long ago proved through Ancestry.com that I am, in fact, related to Edgar Allan Poe. I can trace it all the way back. My great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was his grandfather.
So like
I don't know what that makes us.
Six?
I think we're like cousins, or maybe he's my uncle or something. Something. I think cousins. I want to say cousins.
It's in there, though.
Yeah, it's in there solidly.
It's in there.
I can go name to name all the way back to him himself. So,
that's so
just
cool.
Saying. Yeah.
I give major props to anybody that can trace their ancestry and stuff like that. Cause
it took me 4 months.
My biological father was adopted. So there's no telling anything.
Yeah.
Was that a Gidget tail?
Yes. Gidget just jumped down off the desk. She's hovering around.
Different kind of entity that we have.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't get on my nerves too much. Right, Gidgy? So, tell us the spooky Irish things.
I do. I have two Irish ghost stories to go along with today, but I wanted to hit you guys with some St. Patrick facts. As well, just in case we needed a little bit of a history lesson and some fun facts. So, St. Patrick was born in Britain around the 300s to 400s. We're not exactly sure. He was kidnapped by Irish raiders when he was 16. And he was enslaved for 6 years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
In Irish enslavement. He escaped, though, 6 years after his capture, and during his enslavement, he actually embraced his Christian religion. Words are hard. He later returned to Ireland in order to spread his faith and convert others to Christianity. He was more successful than other missionaries of the time because he was actually respectful of the pagan religion and belief system that was mostly what the Irish people practiced during the time. And he pointed out similarities between the pagan religion and Christianity, and that kind of helped bring people together. So I thought that was kind of fun. So, some fun facts. I thought you would like this. corned beef and cabbage was actually an American innovation.
Really?
Yes. The meal that became St. Patrick's Day staple across the country, corned beef and cabbage, which if you've ever had it... When I was younger, I was like, no way. Gross. I'm older now. I don't know. I'm older, and so I'm like, yeah, that's actually really good. I dig it. It was an American innovation. Ham and cabbage were eaten in Ireland. Corned beef offered a cheaper substitute for impoverished immigrants. Irish Americans living in the slums of Lower Manhattan in the late 19th century and early 20th century. They would purchase leftover corned beef from ships returning from the tea trade in China. And the Irish would boil the beef 3 times, the last time with cabbage to remove some of the brine.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The shamrock was considered a sacred plant. So the shamrock, a 3-leaf clover, has been associated with Ireland for centuries. It was called the Shimroy by the Celts and was considered a sacred plant that symbolized the arrival of spring. According to the legend, St. Patrick used the plant as a visual guide when explaining the Holy Trinity. By the 17th century, the shamrock had become a symbol of emerging Irish nationalism.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually heard that in Ireland, 4-leaf clovers are not a big deal. Like, they don't associate that with St. Patrick's Day or anything like that. That's kind of an American thing.
Yeah. I still heavily look through a patch of clover whenever I come across one.
Yep, same. I have a 4-leaf clover that my son found in the front yard. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're putting that in tape. Also, I heard if you are a white girl that has been told you've got Irish in your family, how do you even know if you don't have a tattoo of a 4-leaf clover somewhere on your body? Like, that's a very white girl thing to do. And listen, in my defense, I did not know that when I got my tattoo. So for you YouTubers, I'm going to expose it. Are you ready?
Wait a minute.
Oh my. Oh my.
So I am.
Does it say for your truth on there?
It says live your truth.
Oh, live your truth. Yep. Okay.
So I am your classic white girl. I'm Irish.
So
I have a
bougie
4-leaf clover on my body.
Goodness.
So proof.
For our podcast listeners, it's on her back shoulder. So
yes. My back shoulder. I did not just reveal a boob or anything.
And this last little St. Patrick's Day fun fact is just for you, Cindy.
Nice.
Records show that the very first St. Patrick's Day parade was held March 17th, 1601, in a Spanish colony that is now St. Augustine, Florida.
What?
Yep.
How cool is that?
So the very first
love it
St. Patrick's
My hometown.
Day parade was in St. Augustine.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have marched in parades in St. Augustine as a teenager. That is freaking hot.
Yeah.
Like, our high school uniform was like these coats and a hat. And it's like you think you're going to die. And
they were
my
fully
hair.
Wool.
Yeah, my hair is not normally flat. Okay, this is Ohio hair right now. The minute I go back to Florida, it just goes poof, we're home now. And it just expands. So, yeah, I have some pretty amazing pictures of me marching down the road in St. Augustine with hair as big as Bobo the Clown. So,
excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I love it. All right. Are you ready for some Irish ghosts?
I'm ready. I was born ready.
You were.
I literally was.
All right. This is, and we're going to be including the link to where I found these stories in the show notes and in the description. So you guys, because there are a couple extra tidbits in there of banshees and leprechauns and stuff too. But obviously
nice.
we're focused on ghosts today. So
yeah.
All right. The White Lady of Kinsale.
It's always a white lady. Damn it.
Charles Fort was a military fortress designed to defend against approaching enemies. A young soldier from Charles Fort married a local girl. The union commemorated with a festive and joyous celebration. The bridegroom had watched duty on his wedding night, but the full day of heavy drinking had gotten the better of him, and he fell asleep while on watch.
Uh-oh.
This was a huge derelict of duty in the eyes of the command. He was found sleeping at his post by his captain and was unceremoniously shot on the spot.
Oh my God.
When his bride learned of her new husband's execution, she jumped to her death from one of the fort's walls.
Oh,
her distraught spirit never moved on. She became known as the White Lady of Kinsale. Her ghost has been spotted both outside and inside the fort, always in a long white dress. She sometimes smiles at young children and women. A nurse spotted the apparition standing over the bed of a child who was sleeping. Soldiers stationed at the fort report a much different spirit. Several captains swear they were pushed down a flight of stairs by an unseen force. The White Lady of Kinsale was thought to be responsible for this, angry about what happened to her husband.
That's pretty harsh.
At least this one has a reason to be in white. It was her wedding night.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, we'll give that to her. We'll give that to her. Wow. I mean, whatever happened to, like, push-ups or making them peel potatoes or something? Like, nope, instant death.
Yeah. Well, you know. Don't fall asleep on duty.
Indeed.
Lord Tyrone and Lady Beresford of Waterford. John and Nicola were orphan children who were taken in and raised together by atheist guardians. The pair made a pact to never forget the Christian origins of their birth. The first who died would come back to the other, thus proving that there was life after death.
Wow.
Years went on and the two grew into adulthood. Nicola awoke one night to find her foster brother at her bedside. He told her he had just died, but was there to fulfill their childhood pact. John, Lord Tyrone, told Nicola, Lady Beresford, of prophetic events to come, including her own death at the age of 47. Nicola was terrified and asked for proof that the vision was real. The ghost grabbed her wrist, leaving a permanent withered mark. After that night, she always wore a black silk ribbon to hide the disfigurement. Everything her brother told her that night came true, except she lived to see her 48th birthday. She celebrated with a party, inviting family, friends, and a clergyman who knew her as a child. Lady Beresford was delighted to have outlived her brother's prediction. Her joy was cut short when the clergyman produced a birth registry which showed that she was actually a year older than she thought. She was indeed 48. Lady Beresford resigned herself to her fate. She went home, made out her will, and died that very evening. Lady Beresford and Lord Tyrone now haunt the land of their birth together, dispelling any of the atheist views which were forced upon them as children.
Well, listen. As an atheist, I have some thoughts, okay?
Your people cause ghosts. <I'm> just kidding.
I believe in ghosts. I don't know. I believe in energy and things like that. So, yes, I don't really prescribe to the whole God thing, but energy is a thing. That's a scientific thing that's in all of our bodies. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not so my fault, bro.
Oh, so yeah, there's a couple Irish ghosts haunting the places around Ireland.
Nice. Those are some good ghost stories. Ireland has some good ghost mm-hmm. stories.
I know. There was, when I went to do research on this, there was just so many, and it was, you know, and not only that, but I mean, there's so much Irish lore that comes with it too, you know, banshees and leprechauns and... You know,
fairies.
All the fairies galore.
Love
don't
it.
Don't give them your teeth. That's a bad idea. Just saying. But yeah, you know, there's so much. And so these happen to be the two stories that I can't, you know, decided on that would just be good. They're short, they're sweet, they're to the point. Mm-hmm. They have some fun pictures that go along with them that we'll throw up, so
nice.
They have some fun pictures to go along with them that we'll put in the videos, and you know, you can see in the show notes and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
good times.
I like it. Being Irish myself, obviously. No,
of course.
Obviously. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm just a walking cliche. What can I say? I love it. I love Irish stories. I want fairies to be real, but only the nice fairies that are actually not the real ones. Like, if you really look into fairies are not nice. They're not pretty little butterfly looking things that are like, oh, la la la. No, they want to torture and kill you.
And take your babies.
Yeah, and they're not usually pretty. So, watch out. Well, this is what we've got for you, folks. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And we'll be announcing soon who our winners are. And we can't wait to hang out with you guys. Now, don't forget, even if you don't get to go to Nanny's house with us, you can still watch a lot of the action because on the whole weekend before Easter, it's the weekend of the 31st through the 2nd, we're going to be at Nanny's house ghost hunting the whole time, and we're going to be live streaming every now and then and just posting stuff. So definitely
we may do an overnight live stream in case you guys can catch something while we're sleeping. So
yeah,
sleeping, attempting to sleep.
Yeah. Good luck to us. Because, footsteps, doors opening and closing, tapping noises. Those are all things that happen regularly. And light.
That's just the quiet stuff.
Yeah. One of my cousins said that he saw a picture frame fall in the middle of the night in the library, no less. We were talking about how spooky the library is before. But, yeah, he was in the library trying to sleep as a kid. And he saw a picture frame that was on a shelf fly off the shelf and break on the floor. But the next morning, when he went to check, it was back on the shelf and it was not broken.
Oh, boy. That's fun.
And he swears. He swears that that happened. That's a real thing. So, and he is a goofball, but I believe him. I believe that one. So.
Oh, boy. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is going to be so much fun.
Isn't it? I can't wait. All right, you guys, until next time, we'll spook you later.
Irish ghost.